The Bible reading tonight is from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 37. It's on, I think, in the church Bibles, it's on page 1033, or you may, if you've got it on your phone or tablet or something, do scroll till you can get it. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 37. And Peter has just spoken to a crowd of people in the middle of Jerusalem on the first Pentecost. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and held everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, it's really good to be here at St. Barnabas, really good to be at the 6:30 service. I've been vicar of this church for, I think, just over 7 days, and Lindsay's been, my wife, been associate minister for the same period. We've been bowled over by the warmth of the welcome that everyone has given us, and we feel very much at home, and thank you so much for that. You can get a sense of the good news if I tell you about a party that Lindsay and I threw for our neighbours a year or two ago. I was just welcoming a very polite Chinese family who lived a couple of doors away from us in Durham when I heard Lindsay shout, "No, get down!" The kind of, you know, sort of polite, welcoming atmosphere completely shattered. We have a small dog called Pip. Close your ears, Lily. We have a small dog, and he had climbed onto a dining room chair and then onto the dining room table where all the food for our guests was laid out. And Lindsay had come into the room and discovered him with his head in a Victoria sponge cake. And the best bit is that as Lindsay shouted no at the dog sped up its eating, because knowing he had only seconds to maximise. You know, of course, we cut the offending part of the cake away and we served the rest to that bit is a joke, though you may possibly think twice about having a slice of cake at the vicarage, having heard that story. Don't expect seamless calm with the good news. We're in a sermon series called New Beginnings, and the new beginning today is that it's my first full Sunday here as your vicar. And you will rightly be asking, well, who is this guy? What might he want to do? And my answer, and I'm happily using language that's been used by others, is that doing church is about going up, it's about going in, and it's about going out. Up, in, and out. We see this in our Bible reading, Acts verses 37 to the end. It's a description of the first local church there ever was. It has loads to teach us about how to do church. And if you can open it, if you've got a Bible in front of you, or can get your hands on one, please do so. Now, the thing about Acts 2 is, it's like all Scripture. It's best if you sort of pan out, and don't just look at the small bit of Scripture we're looking at, but let the camera pan out so you can see the whole picture. And one of the things you notice is the order of the books in the Bible. Now, you've got immediately before the book of Acts, you've got John's Gospel. Now, if you can move John's Gospel in your head and move it, and put Luke's Gospel in front of John's Gospel so that Acts follows on from Luke. That's really important because Luke and Acts were written by the same person, and the evangelist Luke was writing Acts as a sequel to Luke. It's like Deathly Hallows 1 and 2, if you're a Harry Potter fan, or if you're into Marvel, Infinity War and Endgame. I have to say, I've watched those two, Endgame, recently, and I enjoyed it, but I have no idea what it was about. I'm told Infinity War and Endgame kind of link up. Okay, so it's like that. The structure of Luke Acts is telling us something about the message. Now, if you look at the end of Luke's Gospel, how does it end? It ends with Jesus' resurrection. If you look at the beginning of Acts, how does it start? It starts with the resurrection of Jesus. In this two-part work, the resurrection is smack in the middle, and it's told twice. So you can see what Luke is getting at. It's in the middle. It's at the heart. The early church was centered on the resurrection of Jesus. It was founded by people who believed profoundly in the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, people were no more likely to rise from the dead in the first century than they are now. Something seismic had happened in the lives of early church members to make them believe in this. There's not time today to say more, but I would stress that Christians believe in the resurrection because of solid evidence. And in turn, the resurrection is fundamental to Christian faith. Look at the way in the early church, people begin talking about Jesus as Lord after the resurrection. You see that all the way through the book of Acts. Jesus is Lord and Emperor Caesar is not. And they start offering worship to Jesus as God from the resurrection. Look at the way the early Christians suffered greatly for confessing the Christian faith and refused to recant, even though their lives would have been far easier had they done so. Look at the way we meet on Sunday. The early Christians moved their primary day of worship from Saturday, which was the Jewish Sabbath, to Sunday. Why? Because on Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. They moved the day to emphasize, to double underline that fact. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, they and we, therefore, lift our eyes upwards, first of all, in worship. Worship of the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that upwards look is the start of any church. For church is not our best ideas, it's not our own particular set of plans, it is looking upwards, first of all, in worship of the God who made the world and remakes the world in Jesus. Upwards we look and see him there. At the head of this church, behind us, you can see, is an empty cross. On the cross, Jesus died. But that cross does not have a figure of Jesus on it. Why? Because he rose again. He's not there. He is risen. Now, our reading from Acts comes just after Peter has explained the resurrection to the crowd of people in Jerusalem. And at the heart So you can see in verse 32, chapter 2, Peter says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. And then when our reading starts, verse 37 of Acts 2, the crowd are questioning Peter. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now notice, the Peter we meet in Acts 2 is completely different to the Peter you meet in the later chapters of Luke's Gospel. The Peter in Luke's Gospel had said he was totally committed to Jesus and then denied he ever knew him. The Peter who ran away with the other disciples. The Peter who wept in despair at his own weakness. That was then. But the Peter of Acts 2 is after the resurrection. He's seen the risen Jesus. This Peter is not crushed. He is confident. I like to say to people that Christian faith brings people huge blessing, and you can sum it up as three P's. Following Jesus means purpose, it means pardon, and it means peace at the last. It means purpose in a world which often feels chaotic. It means pardon in a world where all of us have regrets of things we could have done differently. And it means peace at the last in a world which is haunted by fear of human mortality. Peter's life illustrates those three P's. If Luke is before Acts, Peter is after. And you can tell it. He knows the pardon, the purpose, the forgiveness that comes in Christ. And what changes Peter is meeting the risen Jesus. So Peter looks upwards in worship to the risen Christ, and that leads him to an inner renewal. He is changed. Christian faith is not simply a set of beliefs we hold. It is a relationship by which you and I are changed into somebody different. In Jesus, God comes to people just as we are. That's the great truth. We don't have, whatever pit we're in, however deep things feel, God can reach to us. He comes to us just as we are, but he will not leave us just as we are. He will raise us up. In verse 37, as we've heard, Peter's hearers say, what should we do? And Peter replies, repent and be baptized. I've seen the fantastic footage of people being baptized recently in St. Barnabas. Now, whether you've been baptized a few days ago or many years ago, it could be fairly said that the point of the Christian life is to live out baptism. That's the hinge of your life almost. And I would say if you've never been baptized, I would encourage you to do so. Christened means becoming like Christ, like Jesus. It's a process that's going to last through our lives and beyond. For the resurrection of Jesus means that those in Jesus will rise. Billy Graham was a great evangelist who died recently. And he rephrased the words of another great evangelist, Dwight Moody. And Graham said this at the end of his life. Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. That's a man who was grasped by the resurrection. Church is about going upwards to God in worship, but it's just as much about being inwardly renewed by God. And inward renewal means everything. Our characters, our behaviours, the lot. At Lindsay and my first service here last Sunday afternoon, Bishop Paul focused on prayer. And he said, we could all do with a prayer MOT. And I'd like to expand that. For in verse 42, there's a description of what the early church did after they got baptised. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. There's four fundamental ways in which we are fed spiritually, changed inwardly. The big four, you might say. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. We're doing these four things tonight, you might note. They're not hard to get hold of. Now, there's a lot more to the Christian life than those four things, but you will never get far in the Christian life if you neglect those four things. The apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayer, they will touch our minds and hearts and change them. So I challenge you to do a faith MOT this year, coming year, where you work on your hold of the apostles' teaching, the fellowship of the breaking of bread, the prayer. May you and I get a deeper grasp of those four things and be changed. We'll be blessed, and we will then bless more others around us. So church is about going upwards towards God in worship. It's about being inwardly renewed by God, but it's just as much about going outwards towards others, sharing the love of God. And verses 43 to 47 of our reading tonight describe the first Christian community connecting outwards. There's talk, verse 43, of wonders and signs. There's talk in verses 44 and 45 of how the early church held its possessions in common and provided for those in need. There's verse 46 where they pray publicly and ate together in their homes. And then verse 47 says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It sounds like there was a whole shedload of baptizing going on. These verses are inspiring, but they also raise a lot of questions about how do we apply them in the present day. I'm not going to try and tackle that one. But I think the broad principles of these verses are clear. This outward dimension includes blessing people both by what we say, but also by what we do. It's about caring for people spiritually and about caring for people physically. It's about evangelism and it's about social action. Lindsay and I have been here officially for a week, and the more I learn, the more I realise there is to learn. But two things have struck me about St. Barnabas. The first is that there's a host of really good things going on here. The second is that there's a huge need for the gospel in Linthorpe and across Middlesbrough. Up, in, out. It's great to see what's going on. Let's pray that the good news of Jesus and Jesus-shaped deeds are ever more evident in this place in 12 months than they are now. I'm going to finish in a second, but let me just close by sharing with you something that happened to me almost exactly a year ago, my father died. He was old. He'd been ill with dementia for some years. That was, as you can imagine, a tough time for him and for us as a family. This was not a tragic death. A number of you will have faced similar things, or indeed more difficult things. But he was my dad. I remember many things as I look back, but one of my most precious memories is sitting with him in his home church in Devon, a church like this, and then going up with Dad to receive communion together. As I look back now, I can see again in that moment the huge blessing that we have when we follow Jesus. Pardon, purpose, peace at the last. The huge blessing we receive rooted in the resurrection. How precious this is. We have purpose in our lives because of the risen Christ. We have pardon for our sins because of the cross of Christ. We have peace at the last because we hope in Christ. Jesus calls his church to go upwards in worship, to go inwards in personal renewal and to go outwards in loving others with the gospel. Church is up, in, out. What will the coming years mean for St. Barnabas? Well, it would be very presumptuous of me to try and comment on that now. But we serve a God of resurrection. We live in the power of Jesus' indestructible life. And knowing the blessing of following Jesus, we can go forward strong in that unshakable hope. Amen.